Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Sacrifice post-show. It's March the 8th, 2024. I am at Joel Pearl, and of course, I am joined by the effervescent, the wonderful, the incredible Cresta by Star.
I was going to say Cresta by Sodom and Gomorrah, but here we are. Hey, everybody, it's me. It's your favorite jabroni. We're all comfy cozy for this comfy episode of Sacrifice. And you know what they say about sacrifice? The numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you if you don't leave us a thumbs up.
Hey, look at that. We're already into it. So while you're leaving us a thumbs up and subscribing to us here at Fightful Overbooked, we also normally do our post show every Thursday on the main channel on youtube.com/Fightful. And of course, FightfulSelect.com is where you get your scoops for everything. We'll talk about that a little later, won't we? But also, if you want to support us a little bit further, you can donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. We always do that. Humper chats, we'll leave that for tonight. The SmackDown crew is doing that. They're talking all about how Roman Reigns and The Rock went right up to the wire and still screwed it up.
I don't know. I don't know anything about, I've never seen professional wrestling a day in my life. So you caught me.
Listen, you said the numbers don't lie. And one number that definitely did lie tonight was a 56K modem that broke down at the beginning of that show.
Bro, I think for like the first three matches, I was like, I would love to know how this ended. This reminds me of when I stayed up too late and watched HBO after a certain time. I don't know what was going on. I was lost and confused.
Shout out to TNA. They did mention on their social feeds that they're aware of the issue. It did get corrected. By the time they got to PCO versus Khan, it was back to normal. Mm-hmm. Everything was great. But they did say that they're going to work to get the show up and out as soon as possible. I went over there and I had no problem just kind of getting back and watching some of the moments from it. But I felt so bad that all that stuff was going down because we were sitting there just being like, this was going to be a fine show. And overall, and I'll get your thoughts in a second, but you know, it was going to be fine show. It's 2 weeks after No Surrender, so we're not expecting anything massive. I think basically everything that we said would happen happened, minus one big surprise that isn't a big surprise, but I think it's just shocking that it happened, and that was new Knockouts tag team champions. Uh-huh. We'll talk about that in the rest of the show, but just general thoughts. What do you think of the show once everything kind of teetered out and we got into a proper streaming ability?
I'm not gonna lie, I popped a little bit at the end when Kazarian came out. I was like, I called it. So I'm very rarely right, and I know that's not something people like to admit in wrestling, but I'm not above it. But when Frankie came out, I was like, feels good. Jody Threat, Danny Luna, I was complimenting them on like, hey, this is good, they got a little Spitfire thing, they got a little tag team, and then they won. All right, now not mad at it, because this goes back to what we had said yesterday on our post show about me wanting Masha and Killer Kelly to kind of do their singles competitor role. And thank you for listening to me. You know, I know you booked that specifically for me, TNA. I appreciate you.
It's kind of wild that this entire show gets booked. Basically, TNA watches our show and just says, these two, we're just going to take everything they say and we're going to book.
You can just hire us for creative, bro. Like, we're right here. We're right here. Nice.
We'll take your money. Listen, it'd be great. Let's do that. Let's get right into it. The countdown was a solid show. It was Digital Media Championship on the line. This was a bit of a last minute addition. Crazy Steve defended against Joe Hendry because Laredo Kid had travel issues. The irony here being that Laredo Kid replaced Trent Seven at Hard to Kill because Trent Seven had travel issues. So it's, we're just passing it down the chain. But either way, it's good that it was just a travel issue and nothing more. Hendry is the right guy to come in and step in, do this match, not only because he's working with AJ Francis, but because he is the longest reigning digital media champion. And on a dime, he's able to produce some comedy. Baby Steve, Lazy Steve, 80s Steve was very good. Crazy Steve's shit. Hannafin is in hell. While Ray Walton and AJ Francis talk shit. This is great, by the way. That's Hannafin the best
part. Was in hell the whole night. The whole night Hannafin was in hell.
Matt Ray Walton was on one, and I really appreciated that. It was a good night for them. When I listened to Tom Hannafin and Matt Ray Walton do commentary and go hardline, one's a babyface and one's a heel, I actively think about how Jeremy and I are on In the Weeds, where I am the Tom Hannafin, I am factual, and Jeremy Lambert is a troll. Like Matthew.
That's Ray. Crazy. That's crazy. I can hear Jeremy Lambert right now. All right, Joe Pearl, you sick you for the last time.
Matt Ray, this is great. You know, so you're familiar with the Dune popcorn thing that went around. When Dune 2 came out, there was the popcorn tub that had the snake and it looked like a butthole. Are you familiar with that?
No, oh my God. And I'd be on the internet all the time.
Yes, I'm surprised. I'm sure chat knows about it. So we were talking about it on In the Weeds, the Dune thing, because it was Monday after Revolution. And we had someone who was like, all I did this weekend was really like Revolution and really enjoy going to see Dune. And I asked if they got the popcorn thing, and they happened to actually have purchased the popcorn bin. And then not 2 minutes later do I see a tweet on my other screen, Matthew Raywalt saying, I'm going to see Dune this afternoon. Should I buy the popcorn thing? And I said, we just talked about this shit.
People are watching our shows, but they will never give us the credit we deserve. You guys are haters.
Telling you, man, TNA books for us and us alone. Nobody else.
I'll take it. Audience of two, baby.
Anyway, the match itself is fine. It's a countdown match. Didn't expect much. Referee gets distracted at one point. AJ Francis jumps off commentary, jumps on Hendry, tosses him into the ring post and into the ring. Steve hits the Belladonna's kiss, and Crazy Steve is still your digital media champion. I have nothing else to add unless you do.
I just want to, again, applaud AJ Francis for taking all of that hate, because that crowd was just booing the crap out of him. Everyone in real life has nothing but nice things to say about AJ Francis. In the wrestling world, nobody want to see that guy. Boo. At this point, he's just be a part of the system. Everyone hates him. And I'm good on him for turning lemons into lemonade. He about to have a lemon empire at this point.
I'm all for a lemon empire.
Lemon Empire. We sell bad cars and drinks.
Or bad drinks and good cars.
Bad drinks and bad cars.
That's a good point. The Rascals are backstage with Steve Maclin and Jim Miller. And they say, you know, Macklin's like, I'm not coming out for your match. And Rascals are like, well, that would have been nice to have known yesterday. And we're not going to go out for Macklin's match. And the whole time I'm just like, oh, so that means they're going to come out for Macklin's match. Did they? I don't know, because the 56K modem told us otherwise. But let's get to Rascals versus Speedball Mountain. That was the next on the match on the countdown show. This was a good match. They ran this back from No Surrender. No shock there. Speedball Mountain get the win with a really good kick dragon suplex combo. But the match was just solid stuff. It's nice to see Speedball Mountain get a victory and hopefully build towards a tag title shot, because later on in the night, like we talked about on Thursday, baby faces are going to start opening up their opportunities for those tag titles.
Yeah. There's a lot of good tag team wrestling in here. A lot of double teams, especially from the Rascals, onto Trent Seven in particular. There was a double leg DDT after they did a single leg DDT on him. And there was a double leg DDT on both Trent and Speedball. The Rascals was doing some fancy top fine tag team wrestling, if I do say so myself. However, when you wrestle against Trent Seven, I see that he is also a man who goes to the Eddie Kingston school of chops, because he slapped the He slapped all the tattoos off of Trey Miguel's chest. He tried to slap tattoos onto to Wentz's chest. Like, that man is stiff. Like literally British strong style. That's him. That is him.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. At one point, referee Daniel Spencer gets knocked down. Not a good night for Daniel Spencer. He just gets
not at all. Oh, he got bad tonight.
Yeah, everyone just kept taking him out. Trey uses the spray paint and Speedball's eyes, so that's back into play. Trent Seven breaks up the pin on that, and then they do the spray paint again, but this time Speedball ducks out of the way. Trey gets the spray paint to the eyes. But either way, a good way to start this tag team build for Speedball Mountain, because they were kind of they got a bit of an auspicious start, and then the TNA rebrand hit, and now we're hopefully going to get them back on track. So I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, me too. Same.
Main card starts off with Nick Nemeth and Steve Maclin. I like that this was the opening contest. Cresta, the one thing I didn't like about it is that most of that match is this is what I saw.
I mean, honestly, when you showed me that in our chat, I popped. I'm like, that really should be like for the first two matches, that should be our background. Cause I've got like three notes. I said a nasty backbreaker on Nemeth, I think. 10 elbow drops. Yes. And I put I pay for this. This is crazy. And let me say shout outs to the TNA chat. I'm not gonna repeat everything that y'all said, but y'all are mean.
The fight TV, if you've ever, I never wish this on my worst enemy. The fight TV chat is one of the worst places in the entire known universe. We have had, when we used to do watch alongs on this channel and on our Twitch, we used to quote the fight TV chat just so that people could see how ridiculous and gross they were. And anyway, long story short, yeah, TNA chat tonight was
right up there. It wasn't gross, but I got my yuck yucks off. Shout outs to you, chat. Chaos incarnate. Somebody said that this was revenge, and I laughed. I also read, not them using Macklin's computer from yesterday after Nemeth had stepped on it. So it did provide some great comedy. I won't lie. While it was annoying, you can't blame them. Internet problems, computer tech problems are tech problems. Sometimes you can't plan for that. But that TNA chat?
Oh, they went at it. And I was looking up the weather in Windsor because I know we're getting rain here in Toronto in the next couple of days. And I was like, I wonder if the rain is so bad, like that's thunderstorms. No, it was just the internet connection. Somebody needs to reboot the router, and then they did, and everything was okay again. But it was just a very frustrating match to lose out on. And this and the tag title match, those were just two higher profile matches on the card that unfortunately had to deal with those tech issues. And again, as a result, TNA is going to release the show much quicker than normal. And I've already seen that there's already been some improvements to the picture. So it's fine. Raywell pointing out that Nemeth got preferential treatment when he came into TNA, whereas Raywalt and Maclin didn't when they came over to TNA from WWE. I like that touch because that's Raywalt's like situation, and it just matches up with what Maclin was when he started, came in, beat people up, but also lost a bunch of matches. And now Nick Nemeth is being presented as this massive star that you have to, like, you know, cheer and get ready because he's going to be the next guy. It was really good stuff. Nemeth hitting an Olympic slam, that's something he hasn't done. Stinger splash was good to see from Nick Nemeth early in the match, paying homage to the one and only Garrett Sting, the other Sting's son wearing the Wolfpack Sting. Yeah, there's some good stuff. You know what? The best part of the entire match, by the way, and I will pull the curtain back. I sent him this photo and I said, thank you for trying to kill yourself for my enjoyment.
That's crazy.
Steve Maclin goes for the caught in the crosshairs. Nemeth pulls himself up, gets out of the way, and Maclin just eat shit is the only way I can put it. He almost takes out Jade Chung in the process. She's like jumping out of the way, trying to just narrowly avoid getting knocked out. I thought it was very good stuff. Maclin went out there and just had a really solid match. And I think him and Nemeth had some really good chemistry. And I think the story that they were telling in and out of the ring has been effective. What do you think of the match? And Nemeth gets the win. He gets two super kicks in a danger zone, AKA a knick-knack, and he hits the win, which doesn't surprise me. Again, we're talking about the Nemeth on the upswing, and Maclin is, we don't know with his contract status.
I think the first, no, actually, the one of the first notes I was able to get out was Jade will never know peace. After last night being interrupted several times, you just come out there to announce your match, and now you got this bald, no, he's not bald, he has a buzz cut. You got this man flying at top speed, because Macklin was going to, if he would have connected with Nemeth, Nemeth would have no guts, because they would be outside of his body. He was at top speed. Holy crap. Jade will never know peace. But that match was really good. It's one of those things where it's like, darn, man. Now I'm being reminded again of why when Steve Macklin came in, he was so good. What are we doing with him? I do agree that Nick Nemeth was the right win here. And now that you said about the thing with Ray Wallace saying that, well, we never got preferential treatment, it could explain why you were a hater all night. He was Nigel McGuinness levels of hate. Like, at one point, I thought he was going to say clam digger. Like, you were hating so hard, bro. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily hate it. And it's kind of like, you can be mad about it, Ray Walt, but like, same thing with Steve Macklin. You can be mad about it, but how many, it should have been me. There's so many great Dolph Ziggler moments. I mean, like, you guys got Rusev Day and the Sons that we don't even remember your names. I'm sorry.
It's true.
Be mad at jump him. That's how it settled in the ring. Jump him. Jump him.
Anyway, the two Sons in the System, they were in a promo backstage with Gia Miller. Myers, Moose, and Edwards English, of course, are backstage with Gia Miller, and they say it's going to be ABCD, and the D stands for dead, and then Moose says he's going to force Eric Young to pass the torch, and the System will leave as champions. Some foreshadowing. Again, no shock there, but solid promo just to get you to the tag title match. Ace of Bays drop their tag titles to Edwards, and Brian Myers. Hey, listen, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I told you so. Sorry.
Listen, you were right about this, and I was right about Kazarian, so we're one apiece.
Good tag team match. Lish was tastefully involved. I think she did a good job with that. There was just the backpack stunner into the elbow, which they call System Overload, is a really good tag team combo. And then that's not even it for them.
That's not even the finish.
That's not even the roster cut into the Boston Knee Party, because of course you're going to use your actual finishes as your, you know, as your finisher, as your match finisher. And that's how you win the match. But you could get away with either of those moves, those tag team moves, getting you a win. And I appreciate that. The Art of Finesse spots were good. I like that they counter one into a Blue Thunder Bomb by Edwards. And then next thing you know, they hit one on Myers and he gets hit with it. There's, again, a good amount of fight for both teams. What do you think of this match?
Ace Austin in this match is truly Quadzilla, because ain't no way that man turkey legs could feed a nation. I got to give a shout out to when he did that handspring to avoid Edwards, and Myers murdered that man. He murdered that man on one hand. That spear on the outside was gnarly. Like, I felt the air leave my lungs, and I'm over here. I'm not even in Canada. That spot was great. There was a moonsault from Ace Austin to the System on the outside, but I'm not going to hold you. It was time for ABC to lose those titles. It was. I don't like it, because I like ABC because I'm a fan. However, you've had it for a very long time. I think this is a shakeup the tag division absolutely needs. But I'm sad. I'm sad. I'm sad. They were good champions. They were good champions. We're going to get a rubber. The System's going to cheat. And back to the back of the line. Sorry, buddies.
And again, we could see, finally, Ace Austin and Chris Bay go on a singles tear. When they did the No Surrender match against GYV, I was certain that GYV was going to win, but obviously not the case. And I also thought GYV was gone. I thought that was it for them in TNA, and then they brought them back for this show. Again, I don't know how involved they're going to be moving forward. I'm going to ask, but we know they're free agents. We know they're not signed to TNA. They're coming in show by show, and that's how they're working, and that's fine. That's how you do it. That being said, ABC, or Ace of Bays, as we call them here, they can still be a tag team,
yeah,
but they can absolutely go their separate ways and find success. And it might be time for that. When they presented them as Beyond Bullet Club, they got rid of the Bullet Club music. They started dressing like they're their own individuals again. To me, that was the start of something. And if that's how they're going to move away from being Ace of Bays and start being Ace and Chris Bay, then that's going to be good for me.
I mean, I wouldn't even hate it, because I do think that there's a tag team synergy there that is worth keeping around. It could be like Motor City Machine Guns last year, or towards the end of last year. I'm going to go do my thing. You're going to do your thing. And if we really feel spicy, why don't we do the tag team thing again?
Yeah, exactly. Easy as that. So again, I like that it's potentially, and I hope that they're going to book it as they are not breaking up and feuding with each other, but instead they are breaking up and saying, we'll try again after we try ourselves first.
Yeah, it's not goodbye, just to see you later.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As corny as that sounds, it works. Anyway, by then, no more feed loss signals, PCO versus Khan, no DQ. We talked about this on our Thursday post show. And the feeling was PCO will probably win because he's going to get Moose next. Unfortunately, that kind of messes things up because Khan is supposed to be on the ascent. And Khan was supposed to look like the next big monster.
Not the ascension, please. His trauma.
You're welcome. I'm glad you picked up what I was putting down.
I had a 10-minute conversation, which was probably longer than this match, about the ascension. I'm like, I bet you I don't even remember this guy. You remember where he was in? Y'all remember the ascension? Yeah, you don't. You don't. The longest reigning NXT champions came up to the main roster. It was local talent everywhere. Yikes.
Man, they put them in the warrior light face paint. And we're just like, yeah, go for it. Demolition. Let's go. Good luck, Road Warrior Ascensions. Didn't work out. Anyway.
Poor guys.
Well, the guy booking at the time was senile. Anyway, so Khan comes out, beats up the timekeeper pre-match. And then for some reason, he's calling out the guy that he has a match with anyway. That part was a little strange to me. If that was their way of trying to do the, okay, we get it, Joel's sick of the whole reviving PCO every single time. If that's sure, that's an attempt. It's fine. But like, keep workshopping it, please.
Damn, Dragger.
Cookie Tray beatdown, stage fighting as always. Khan gets chokeslammed off the top of, or off the stage through a table by PCO. PCO comes back, loads up the ring with chairs. Khan comes back. PCO hits the PCO salt on top of the chairs, gets the win. Like I said, probably next for Moose. And that's not a bad thing. Because we know what the discourse is going to be. PCO is going to get the title shot. People are going to say, oh, God, not PCO. And then they're going to have a banger-ass match. And we're all going to be sitting here being like, all right, fine. We were wrong. Moose and PCO, great match. That's
this match wasn't bad. It was exactly what it needed to be. I will say the spot of that match for me was PCO getting chokeslammed on that ramp up top. Like three times, just the way his body, I was like, yo, bro, you really don't care. What are they doing in Quebec that you don't care so much about your body? Like, somebody said that that's Darby Allin in 10 years.
20, maybe.
He's climbing Mount Everest. Did you know that?
I did. I have so many feelings. Anyway, listen, I just hope he's safe and I hope he's okay. Matt Raywell just tweeted out, y'all need to stop sleeping on Steve Macklin now.
I mean, Steve Macklin was sleeping underneath that table.
Oh, hold on.
We're not sleeping on him. He's sleeping on a job. That's not us. I'm sorry. That's not us. We like Macklin. We flip-flop now. But Macklin's cool. He's great. He just was top speed. He said, I'm going to kill Nick Nemeth. And, I mean, I'm going to give him the old knick-knack. And,
Oh, it's fine. It's fun. AJ Francis is backstage, says he's real, and he wants to ensure Joe Henry never achieves any level of success ever again in TNA. And then Henry issues a challenge one-on-one, and then Santino Marella makes it official for Thursday's Impact. So we're going to be watching AJ Francis versus Joe Henry one-on-one.
That music video is going to be a banger. That's all I got to say.
Very excited for that. Speaking of bangers, Knockouts tag titles on the line. MK Ultra dropped their tag titles to Danny Luna and Jody Threat. First of all, happy birthday, Jody Threat. I hope you like your new shiny gold.
Hey!
That's always
he wasn't raised in hell now. Come on now.
They come out, do Luna and Jody. They're not called Spitfire. And of course, commentary is now like, really hitting home that they just christened this name. This is the name of the tag team. They're called Spitfire. And I'm like, oh, I know what this means. And it's, again, it's not a bad thing, but again, MK Ultra just won those tag titles back. So MK Ultra come down, they beat up Spitfire on the ramp, and they do the, they're choking him with the chain. They're beating down both women. Luna fights back, but then they're choking out Jody Threat, and then Jody Threat gets tossed in the ring. They hit a snowplow on Danny Luna on the floor, and then Threat's like, no, I can go, and the bell rings, and Spitfire wins. I think it's dumb. If you were going to have your... And again, this is just the booking of the Knockouts tag division has been this way. It's just, we're going to keep switching those titles as much as we can. If you had the feeling that you were going to split Masha and Killer Kelly, which seems to be what's happening next, I don't understand why we went to Hard to Kill, gave the titles to Decay, took them off Decay the next show, which was a few weeks later, and then did this. We could have just went Decay to Danny Luna and Jody Threat. And let Masha and Killer Kelly start their split earlier. This was very strange to me.
I'm inclined to agree. The match itself was fine. So let's start there. The match was a stiff match. They really beat the hell out of those girls before the ring started, before the match even started. I got to give much respect to Danny Luna because Jody Threat. Masha beat the brakes off that girl for a solid 5 minutes until Jody Threat was like, see ya, got it. You mad. And she got it on Killer Kelly. So now Masha's super mad at Killer Kelly. That's neither here nor there. I agree with Joel here. I didn't think we needed to play hot potato. I think if you knew you had MK Ultra being hot, you should have left it on MK Ultra. If you wanted them to defend it one more pay-per-view, I would have brought Decay back next week or introduce them into the tag division, not during a show. Maybe there's some other reasons for it. That's fine if there's another reason for it. My complaint is the booking. Like Joel, like my complaint is you didn't need to play hot potato because now it's kind of like if Decay comes for it, I kind of feel like Decay will just take it from him. I'm not saying that Spitfire is bad, but now I'm kind of like, so what are we doing?
And they're there. Decay are there at the tapings. Mm-hmm. So they're in Windsor. I don't know. It was strange to me because
it was a choice. It was not a choice I would have made, but
it was not a choice I would have made. I like that Danny Luna and Jody Threat are the new crop of TNA Knockouts. Mm-hmm. That they are the ones who are currently on the ascent. And I ring the bell for Jody Threat anytime I can because she is local to me and I appreciate that. However, I felt the booking was strange. I thought Danny Luna and Jody Threat had a little bit more to ascend to get those titles from a tag team like MK Ultra who were established.
I will say I'd be okay with the hot potato if it was between MK Ultra and Decay. And if you wanted to get it off of them onto Spitfire, you have them do a triple threat and the Spitfire just bamboozles the crap out of everyone. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. Anyway, we've given a lot of thought to it, but at the same time, we'll see how much TNA gives to this.
I'm excited to see Masha on her own again. I'm not going to hold you. Masha versus Jordynne Grace was one of my favorite matches of last year. Like, that's just me. Jordynne Grace going through that door was gnarly, bro. And Masha doing the same was gnarly.
Don't get me wrong. No. That wasn't what I was trying to get to. I was like, well, maybe there's a world where we're going to find out that Masha's last date is this set of TV tapings and they're going to blow her off and that's it. Again, I don't know, but there is always that option as well because it's just coming down to we split up the hottest tag team they've had in the Knockouts division and one of the most dominant ones. I look forward to seeing where they go with it, but I'm also just like, going to question the booking until they make it make sense if they do.
Remember how yesterday I was like, this is Joel right now. Like, I'm not saying it, but it's ready.
I'm going to do it, I swear. Josh Alexander and Alexander Hammerstone. Hammerstone's first official match as a TNA roster member. And he very firmly, with his boot, committed his bad guy persona.
Yam back shuffle, baby.
Just right in the dick. kicks Josh Alexander. And this was a good match. This was a strong match of power moves, lots of throws, 10 German suplexes in a row from Josh Alexander to Alex Hammerstone. There's some really excellent stuff here. Eventually, Hammerstone goes low. Referee Daniel Spencer once again gets knocked down. What is wrong with you?
Listen, last night Jade was getting cut off, and tonight it was Daniel Spencer's turn. We just don't respect officials there. We just don't.
Paige Prinzavalli, well, watch your back. They made Frank Gastineau look like a bitch tonight. We're going to talk about that too. Nightmare Pendulum gets the victory for Hammerstone. And then Hammerstone, I like this. This was my favorite part. He grabs Josh Alexander's headgear and he puts it on his bicep and poses with it. And I hope that Hammerstone continues grabbing pieces of gear, of things that these wrestlers wear, and claiming them as trophies. Be the Viking asshole.
And put them on your shoulder and you'd be like, Killswitch.
Killswitchosaurus is what I call him.
Diphleodocus. I will say, when Josh Alexander did the first 2-3 German suplexes, I was like, well, goddamn, how many German suplexes? And these weren't like released German suplexes. These were, I still got you. By the 7th one, Josh Alexander, I swear he didn't say this, but I also swear he said this. Like, I don't care. Get up, bitch. Get up. Like, he was winded and sweated. So I had to look up. How many times was the most German suplexes ever done? This is some knowledge for you guys. So I looked it up. John Cena took the most released German suplexes.
SummerSlam 2015.
35. The most closed German suplexes was Kurt Angle. Look up who his opponent was.
Was that WrestleMania 2000 or 2000? No?
Nah, that was, he was versus someone named Crispin. So
no, it doesn't matter. It's Chris Benoit. Listen, we can talk. It's fine. Listen, we're not going to glamorize the outside the ring stuff, but
that's fair. Angle gave it to him 11 times, and that was the most not released. So
there you go. Look at you educating the masses. I appreciate that.
I had to look it up because I was like, normally people do like three. Get the three amigos, or you release by the 4th one. Josh Alexander was like, I hate you. I don't care. We're both sweating. You're going to go with me. We're doing this, and I'm not letting go. Like, that's hate. That's Nigel McGuinness levels of hate.
And the thing is, I loved that John Cena Brock Lesnar match because it was so uncomfortable. All of the, like, Brock just beat the tar out of John Cena, and it looked so one sided. I love
where the term suplex city came from. I did not know that. I educated myself. So the gift is to you guys.
Well, the gift that keeps on giving is FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business. If you want all the scoops going into WrestleMania, we've got it. You want to know who's involved in Hall of Fame induction conversations?
Who?
It's electric, baby.
It's boogie, woogie, woogie. I'm sorry.
It's the Rock. The Rock. The Rock's involved. He's involved in because he's a TKO. Boom. Anyway, he gets to do that. FightfulSelect.com. We have that news. We break news all the time. Okada to WWE. Wow, not there. Okada going to AEW. We got the scoops. Everything coming out next week, we'll have the scoops. Q&A with Sean Ross Sapp, we have that. Fightful Discord, select, go that thing. I'm not tired at all. And of course, Sour Graps, if you want the sourest takes.
Oh, and they mentioned sour grapes tonight. So shout outs to Alex and is it Maggie? And Kate.
No, it's Kate. Maggie can't do sour. Well, she can do sour, but she ain't doing the sour. She's asleep.
Maggie's sweet.
She is very sweet. And of course, we had the plans for all the big shows. So SmackDown tonight, we knew what was happening. I knew The Rock was going to get cut off during a promo at 9:57 p.m. Eastern because The Rock doesn't keep the time. Anyway, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe The Rock just needed a time machine. They're backstage with Gia Miller, and Kushida says, "I won't say sorry. I made the right decision and no surrender by throwing in the towel for Alex Shelley." Saban's like, "We'll just be a great pro wrestling tag team. We'll come out on top." Shelley's like, "Yep." And the one thing, this is the one thing that I absolutely love, was the blocking in this scene. Kushida and Saban come in on one side. Shelley comes in from the opposite direction. And then what happens at the end? Shelly goes out from one side, Saban and Kushida go out from the opposite direction. That was the whole point of the next match, GYV and Ali taking on Time Machine. Shelly just blows past everyone, then forces the big team handshake. And then this match was good, solid stuff. Ali is an asshole. This was really fun. And in the end, Ali pins Shelly after Saban accidentally kicks Shelly in the corner and Ali hits a 450. Let's get into it. I really enjoyed this match, Cresta.
This match, wrestling, let's start there. Superb. Ali tried to get out of a hoverboard lock that Kushida's like, "I don't care if you go to the ground. I don't care if you stand up. You can roll. I'm rolling with you, baby. You better hit them ropes." That was fantastic. But I want to talk about the storyline. Because even from the word go, when Shelly walks by, it's like, "I don't care. Oh, are we doing a handshake? Well, let's go. Hurry up. I don't care. I don't care. Let's hurry up. I don't care. I don't care." Even like it is so refreshing to see a heel machine gun, and Shelly's the right guy to do it. Because when Saban was trying to be like, "I don't care," I'm like, "Yo, nobody believes you. You're a good guy. You're a good guy." I believe Shelly when he's like, "I'm a jerk." And poor Kushida's going to get it first. Because I think Kushida's like, "I just want everyone to get along. This is, we're wrestlers, and we're fine wrestlers at that." And Shelly's like, "Yup, you're right." So I don't know. That time machine is not long for this world. So
They tried. I do appreciate that in the entire match, you've got GYB doing the bulk of the work while Ali is just shouting trash.
That's what leaders do. We don't send our strongest warriors into the fight. We send them to lead.
And then he comes in just to pick the bones, and he's working safe. It's good stuff. It's perfect. And then Saban finally gets in. Ali's not the legal man. He gets to jump out. When Saban's hot tag to Kushida comes around, I love this. Again, putting over Mustafa Ali, he jumps to try and stop it, even though he knows he wasn't going to. It's those little, silly, stupid wrestling things that work. The good answer. Go ahead.
Now, I was also going to say, Shelly, too, this whole match, if you notice him on the outside, especially when Kushida was doing stuff, he was kind of like, "I guess I'll go to my corner. I guess I'll put out my hand." But like you said, it was very much like a, "Oh no, tag me. Ooh, hot potato. Kidding. Sorry."
Yeah, anyone else but me. Good hands come out. They try to interfere. Saban stops them in his comeback. And then Shelly gets back in the fold, and they hit the facial on Gibson, and they try with Ali with the triple kick in the corner. And then, like I said, there's miscommunication. Saban kicks Shelly, and Shelly eats the pin. Now Shelly is pissed off because his teammates let him down and he lost the match for his team. This is a really good development in a story that I hope does culminate in Alex Shelley being a full-blown piece of garbage heel. Unfortunately, there are a lot of other heels that are starting to emerge in TNA, so it might get a little bit messy at the top, but if you tell the story properly, there is an opportunity for Shelley to be a breakout.
This is kind of Shelley's fault, too. Saban or yourself would not have been in that position if you didn't blind tag. So I'm just going to say that.
It's valid.
I'm here for it, but this is your fault. You're mad at the wrong person.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes. Knockouts world title is next. Jordynne Grace retains, pins Xia Brookside with after the, what is that move then?
the Grace driver.
Yeah, I had a moment there. And Tasha Steelz is also in the match. And you know who else is there at ringside? It's Ash. Getting drunk in ringside. Sorry, by elegance.
I mean, honestly, if you're not watching a wrestling show, a little bit intoxicated, as long as you're not a performer, are you living? Are you even watching wrestling? If you're not watching the Fightful post show afterwards, are you even watching wrestling? I don't think.
This is how I envision our audience.
That's me every time I watch any wrestling show in my finest threads. The only thing is missing is my mustache.
Is that what you're doing? Is that what your fingers are doing, twirling a mustache and not holding something?
They are definitely twirling a mustache. One finger's twirling a mustache while the other one has a red Solo cup full of soda.
Perfect. Who are you, me? Anyway.
Listen, I am a child of God. I'm a woman of the cloth. It's a napkin, but a cloth nonetheless.
That's right. It rips easily. This match was fine. Again, I came into this knowing exactly who was going to win. But it was a good match nonetheless because these women can wrestle and that's the good news. Ash is out here getting hammered and watching wrestling. Good for her. And then, of course, you just got a good match. Early muscle buster on Tasha Steelz looked good. They eventually kick it in the high heel. They really went to mostly a sprint throughout this match, which, again, I appreciated. Uh-huh. The spot where you had Xia Brookside hitting an octopus, which is a move that Jordynne Grace is very familiar with given her husband. And, of course, you've got Grace doing some sort of toehold submission on Tasha Steelz at the same time. This is good stuff. And in the end, Xia Brookside launches Tasha Steelz into Ash, this glass of champagne, and she freaks out. And what's even better than the freak out, Cresta Star, George Iceman eats shit on the way up the stage.
George Iceman is not the focus of this match, but I literally, whenever he comes out, what will Iceman get into next? Like, it's not even Ash by Elegance's fault. George Iceman is just that good. And honestly, I hate to be that guy. It's warming me up to the character because George eating shit going up the stairs after she almost ate shit coming down with her Peggy Bundy, like, not too fast, not too, if you see these heels. And then, George Iceman is a treasure, an honest-to-God treasure.
It was so stupid, but so well done, the physical comedy of that moment. But
I think it was an accident, too.
I do, too, and the camera's caught it. But it was perfect. And then also, like, Ash is, she's her freak-out moment wasn't bad. It's going to set up a match. Mm-hmm. Between her and Xia Brookside, and Brookside's gonna be like, I didn't do anything, and Tasha did it. You were just in the way, and like, it's gonna tell a better story. We talked about this too. Now we're gonna start moving Ash by Elegance outside of just local competitors. She'll start actually facing roster members, and she'll rack up victories, and she'll probably get the match against Jordynne Grace at Rebellion, barring any massive new signee that comes in and makes it a dream match. If it's Ash versus Jordan at Rebellion, that's good. That's the place where it all started for Ash by Elegance at the Palms. It's a good story. Grace hits a Vader bomb late in the match. Steelz tries to break it up with a pin, and then she tries to sneak in the pins, but eventually the Juggernaut driver gets the win for Xia Brookside. I don't know if you have anything to add about this match because it was just a solid sprint of a Knockouts championship match.
I am not mad at it, but my one question is, of all the places to sit, Ash by Elegance, why did you sit right there? That just seems a little city place to sit. Even commentary got a hidey hole. And even Jade wasn't safe. You picked the worst spot. Like, for all that, you should have sat on the apron, the hardest part of the ring. You know what I mean? That was a curious place to sit. I know why you were there. But I'll just say, be a little bit more sneaky next time. Just interfere.
She was scoping out the competition. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you wasn't even on commentary.
She never is. You got to pay her to do that. I get that.
I get it too. But why are you sitting right there in the corner by the ramp? Like, that's
because that's the optimal space to not only watch the match, but also get out of the way if needed and have your champagne and drink it too.
You're right. I don't have expensive taste. I don't have any champagne around. You're right. Oh, and this was the match that Hannafin said, I'm sick of you, Ray Walt. At the end, because he was like, oh man, if only Ash was able, he's like, I'm sick of you. I've had it. Shut up, Ray Walt. I think he choked him after the match.
Dude was on one. It's really funny. he just let it slide tonight. And it was really good stuff from Ray Walt. And Hannafin just being like, I'm in hell. This is hell.
The name of it should have been, instead of sacrifice, Hannafin Hell.
That's tomorrow night when he has to do the tapings again.
Everybody shows up to work. What up, buddy? Why not you again?
Big slap across the back. Ah, good to see ya. Anyway, Jenna said to Super Chat saying the Knockouts title match got a good amount of time. I would love in the future if they introduced the Knockouts mid-card title that had an option C like the X Division Championship. They really need to grow the Knockouts division first because it's too small. I'm going to push back. First of all, I'm not a big fan of having mid-card titles just to use mid-card titles. I think that the one thing that the Knockouts division is really good at is actually developing stories that are not based on just the title. That's been a big issue that I've had with WWE for a while with AEW. They're starting to get better about it, but the stakes should always be that you're after the championship, not trying to get to the mid-card title just so you can maybe cash it in for option C. And that's the thing. Option C for me is not my favorite thing either in TNA because you have to use it sparingly and you have to be careful with who gets it and when. The last time they used it was absolute garbage, and that's Kazarian after he beat Speedball, who was on a tear as X Division championship, as the X Division champion. And what do you do with Kazarian? He lost his option C, and then it completely screwed up any momentum they had going for Speedball, in my opinion. So a Knockouts mid-card championship, I'd rather have the tag titles, because I'd rather build formidable tag teams that have personalities individually but work together as tags, so that when you do inevitably split up or decide to go separate ways, you can still come back to tag, or you can be a singles wrestler. That, to me, works better. I don't know if you have anything to add to all that.
I will say that, yes, I could see like a mid-card title. However, the Digital Media Championship and the X Division Championship are not gender specific. So I will say that I've seen Digital Media, or at least X Division, on a woman, and they can hold it and they can defend it against other women if they want to. I just think that, much like when they put the world champion on Best of Tantured, we would have to have a good storyline to do so with it if you're going to do that. Yeah, you could have a Jordynne Grace do it. And to me, that's easy. That's not to say that it's free, but that's easy. But it'd be interesting to see a Giselle Shaw get it, like in the Ultimate X match. It'd be interesting to see a Zaya Brooks side get the Digital Media. That, you know what I mean? Like, how would you do that? How would you get something like that off of Crazy Steve? Do you have like a Savannah Evans pump kick the hell out of Crazy Steve? You could. You just have to have a good storyline for it. And so, you know, it's wrestling. You don't think too hard. It's wrestling.
And again, this is the benefit of TNA, is that they do intergender wrestling very effectively. Yes. And very well. And you know what? Like, don't even call it intergender wrestling. They let anybody wrestle anybody, regardless of gender, regardless of whatever you want to call it. And that works for TNA. That's why you can have someone who is female identifying go after the X Division Championship, and they could cash in Ultimate X. Oh my God. Option C. Can you tell it's late in the night?
Come on now.
Yes. And so they win and then they cash it in, and you can do it just the same way. I don't like introducing championships just for championship's sake. Even when they introduced the Knockouts tag division, I was like, why are we bringing this back? I don't know if they have the depth. And then they found the depth, and that was good. And I like that they continue to find that depth and then put together women who are not working actively as singles competitors in the knockouts division. They are finding a way to have them involved.
Yeah, I agree.
I do want more tag teams, and I want them to spend more time making that division viable and not just whatever they did tonight.
I think that the knockouts division in totality does have the depth. And again, I agree with Joel in the sense that Impact TNA is good at intergender wrestling or just performing together, if you will. So you, I feel like you always had the digital media and the X division as a failsafe. Typically the X division is high flyers and it's not about weight limits and no limits. So why would that apply to genders?
Fair. I agree. Weight limits, no limits. Let's go.
I'm a no limit soldier and we don't die.
Oh man, that's so good. Anyway, TNA World title time. Main events, Moose and Eric Young. This match was a very TNA main event, for better or for worse. I like the match from Moose's psychological standpoint. The way that he's working over Eric Young's ribs, the way that he wrestles the match, the way it's a very traditional match, and that's not a bad thing. Moose dropping so many F-bombs because he knows that it's on streaming is hilarious to me.
Moose was a menace this match. He ripped like 3 people's sides too. He was a menace.
He was on one. I don't know if he had a bad afternoon and he just took it out.
Him and Ray Walt were drinking the same thing in the back and they was ready tonight.
They saw WWE got that Prime endorsement and they're like, haterade for us. Let's go.
There's a song that literally is like, it feels so good to be a hater. That was the theme song too of tonight as well.
In the end, Frankie Kazarian comes out after the system run out. We'll get into what really happened, but Frankie Kazarian is dressed up as Crew. He chokes out Eric Young. He throws Eric back in the ring in time for Moose to hit the spear and retain. EY had kicked out of the spear earlier in the match, which they mentioned Josh Alexander was the last person to do that and the only person to kick out of Moose's spear. And I appreciate that they showed that respect to Eric Young, who is not only a legend in TNA, but also a longstanding member of their roster. So I like that they showed that respect. Eric Young loses. He doesn't leave looking awful. And now I wonder what they're going to do with EY and Kaz, because they could do a loser leaves TNA match and I would be all for it. What do you think of this? Not my idea, but not.
I'm trying not to act like, yo, Eric Young already died once and the dead don't get deader, but damn it, TNA will try.
Eric Young ain't signed. Eric Young ain't, he's on a handshake deal and the person that he signed, the person whose hand he shook doesn't work there anymore. So I'm just saying, if they do a loser leaves, it's not a bad way for EY to go if he decides that's it. And if that's the situation, regardless, let's talk about the match itself. Moose retains the TNA World Championship over Eric Young.
Bro, those tombstones on the apron, in the ring, on the outside, Eric Young is a world-class maniac. You know what he doesn't care about? Your neck. Moose's neck in particular. All of them were nasty. And I watched a video before, for whatever reason, about how to take a pile driver. So I was definitely looking at Moose's neck the whole time. Like, and Moose is good at selling because he waits to right before his head is supposed to hit the thing. Ooh, gotta look up. Ah. It was a good match. I never want to see those pile drivers ever again. I really be thinking people are dead. Like, those two, I believe he dropped Moose on his head every time. Every time. Moose was fine. Moose clearly was fine, but these are fine professional wrestlers. Also want to say that the elbow drop Eric Young got onto Moose towards the end of the match, he got so much height. It reminded me of Kairi Sane, because Kairi Sane is one of those people who like get real small, then explodes with that elbow.
Eric Young has one of the most underrated elbow drops out there. And I really hope more people see that, because he hits it so well. The one of the first times that I really recently took notice of it was at Slammiversary, which also happened to have been at Windsor where they were tonight, when he jumped off the top rope, past a table, halfway across the ring to hit that damn elbow. And he did it with great precision. And that was his return to TNA, or Impact, as it was at the time. He's got a great elbow. He always, it's just very, very well done, Eric Young.
Yeah, no, Eric Young really did that. And when I hear names like Eric Young, PCO, Frankie Kazarian, and Eddie Edwards, it's like, yeah, you can be annoyed at like people like Eddie Edwards or even Kazarian. But these guys are TNA faithful, loyal, original standard bearers. So it's a little disappointing to see Kazarian doing this to Eric Young. However, Kazarian would fit right in with the system.
We did this dance on Thursday. Stop
it. I said what especially after tonight, after Eric Young was like, I don't care. Just leave the system here because they're going to cheat anyway. You finally get them out of here. For Kazarian to come out, oh, that's hate. And you're mad that nothing is working for you, but the system now holds all the gold. Who's going to go after the X Division title? Who's going to take it off of Crazy Steve who's forking people? The system. I don't want them holding all the gold, but they're 90% of the way there.
The problem is the X Division champion is currently a heel.
But he also stabs people with a fork.
And No. That's the X Division champion is Ali. The digital media champion is Crazy Steve. But I
better go for that digital media because y'all not getting that off of Ali. That's not happening.
Ain't no reason to go after the digital media championship because it's going to be on the pre-show.
Okay, but I'm the system and it works. And Kaz, you want a title, right? You want a title, right? Listen. I wish I still had my hat that I used to wear when I wanted to do stupid booking.
Oh, yeah,
stupid booking is coming in. That's fine. You say, Kaz, you want to win the title? You haven't won the title, the big one? We're going to get you the digital media. And Kaz is like, you want to get me the what? Nah. I want the main title. And Moose is going to be like, you're funny, Kaz. You're smoking crack. That's what you're doing.
No, they do that on Friday nights. That's what the Rock's title people.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Hey, we're almost there. Actually, so what I do want to point out is I don't think that Frankie's going to join the system. I don't think that's what this is. Thank you. What I think is the next step is they either say we paid him off or they say we didn't expect this. This wasn't supposed to happen. This was a happy accident because Kazarian hates EY more than anyone else. So we're just going to wash our hands of this. Maybe they'll do a rematch at the tapings. And then again, Moose beats EY in some sort of gimmick match, whatever it is. That's how they get there because boy, did they get convoluted a little bit at the finish because the system runs out. EY takes the dive to take them out. And then there's a Canadian destroyer for Eric Young. Myers pulls out referee Frank Gastineau as he's counting three. And then the system's like, DQ me. And then as he's about to, Eric Young comes out and says, no, throw them out. And I'm like, why are they making Frank Gastineau look like a bitch again? Because they've done this recently.
Like, I feel like you as the ref, I mean, I would have tossed them out. And I mean, technically, I don't know. The end was, overbooked.
Yes, which is, by the way, the channel we're currently on. If you're watching us on, watching us on video. If you're audio, we're on the main feed again, because why not? I can put it anywhere I want, damn it. Anyway, yes, it was overbooked. It didn't need to be. Kazarian's back. But Kazarian's back. They explained it by saying his suspension was lifted this morning, in which I was like, no, that's convenient. and then Moose Spears, Eric Young, and he retains, and the system are in control, which is really something that you and I talked about being the case for the end of this show. This was very much an expected show. Again, things were as planned. The only thing that wasn't was the Knockouts tag titles. Yeah. Otherwise, this show was very paint by numbers, bunch of good wrestling. But like Jeremy and I said in the weeds this morning, you didn't need to do a special 2 weeks after you just did a special.
I agree.
I think I moving forward, and I don't have any say in this, clearly. We may book the territory, but we sure as shit don't promote it town to town. They need to space things out better. And if that means you go from a monthly show to a bi-monthly show or a every 2 months show, your pay-per-view should remain as it is quarterly. But then instead of doing every month, you do every other month and you do a one night only, or at least to space it out better. And I understand, sorry, I'm going to go on a rant. I understand that a Friday night and Saturday night is advantageous for bringing in the house, but your TV tapings don't get as many people either. There has to be a better way. And I don't think going live is going to be the way to go. Something's got to change.
I'd be for it. Wrestling shows a month apart, a solid month apart, because I think it does give you time to build a story. So even if you're having people not wrestle for a title, which can be a story in itself, you can have people wrestle like, who tonight wrestled just for the Macklin and Nemeth? Almost called them Knickknack. You got me messed up. Macklin and Nemeth, I think that had enough time to be built upon. There was also Bully Ray and Nemeth and Macklin for a while. That had enough time to be built upon, but that wasn't for anything. You know what I mean? I think there can be things that aren't for anything that can be done. You just have to give it enough time to book.
Yeah. And again, you don't need a monthly show and you don't need 2 weeks in between your monthly specials.
You need more. You need at least three. Like I'm so sick. I need a month. I need a month apart because there's no time to build any stories. I feel like you would force title changes or title matches for title's sake. But I'm going to be sports entertained. I'm going to watch. Let me be clear. I'm going to watch. I'm sad.
And by the way, to the person telling me, you know, tell that to other companies doing monthly pay-per-views. They don't do a pay-per-view every 2 weeks or a special every 2 weeks.
I will say Impact is the only place that's really guilty of that. There was a close second is AEW for a hot second, but then they stopped.
But again, let's not, they didn't. They're going to be doing.
They didn't.
No, they're going to be doing monthly. Like they broke from World's End until Revolution. That was fine. But like now they're back on the monthly train for the foreseeable. You know,
it felt like in quarter four, they were like 2 weeks, another special, 2 weeks, beat break, 2 weeks, Revolution. It's like.
And it's kind of what we're doing. But in terms of like what TNA does, the quarterly pay-per-view model works. But because you're a slave to your taping schedule and you want to get a live hit out of it, it messes up your storytelling. It messes up what you can do and what you can't do. So as a result, you've got to space things out better. A 2 week build to a special from another special. And again, these are not the pay-per-views. These are the $5 a month you've plopped down for TV and a monthly special. It's you're doing it for the sake of doing it. And then we are sitting here talking about it. I mean, like, yes, very good match. Outcome was not in doubt. What next?
Yeah.
I don't want to do what's next every week. Maybe I'm just, you know, curmudgeonous old man, whatever. But like, there's got to be a better way to put together these shows where it's not every other week and instead it's once a month. You could have done this show. Again, this is a slave to your taping schedule. This show could have been on the 22nd. And then you would have, and that would have been a three or four week build to get to the 20th, which is a month after that for Rebellion.
You could even did this next weekend and I think would have been... Yeah. Would have been more of a sufficient build between 2 weeks was hard to kill and then sacrifice.
But again, you are a slave to your taping schedule. You can only do what you have in the can. And you can't, this is the hard part about the content. And that's why I don't harp on this as much. Mm. But I think there needs to be a better plan of action when it comes to when are our specials and when are we taping and what works when and how much can we get to fill the void so that we're not airing a special 2 weeks after we just did one. That's hard. That's
also, can we book the venue in this time? The whole nine. You know, there's a whole bunch of logistics. So we're not really giving y'all crap. We just saying, you know.
And I'm a logistics and creative individual. That's my background is in like the arts and program coordination and logistics. So for me, it's like, why don't we book this better? But I'm not the person doing it. If you want someone to help you do it, I'm available. But the point is, tonight's show, a good show. Outcomes, not in doubt. Happy birthday, Jody Threat. You were my surprise of the night.
No longer raised in hell, baby. You hear, you one of us, one of us, one of us, 1-800, one of us.
Cresta Starr, tell them what you got going on this weekend and week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cresta Starr has been on your Fightful YouTube 3 days in a row because tomorrow there's a special collision. Rick and Iridian are busy, but your girl Cresta is going to be here with Phil and Iridian's co-host from Wrestling Wind Down Low, who I'm very excited to work with. I've never worked with her. So let's go. Next week, Wednesday, your girl's going to be at Big Business. So if you see me in the camera somewhere, just be like, I don't know. You probably not. But then I'll be here Thursday again with your favorite, my favorite, Joel Pearl, going over all things TNA. You can find me over on X, Cresta The Starr. There's a link tree in my bio. My podcast is coming out soon. I can't wait for you guys to see it. My content is getting a huge upgrade. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I appreciate all of you guys for being here and talking wrestling with me and Joel. And speaking of Joel Pearl, where can the lovely folks at home find you?
I am easy to find. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern, in the weeds, over on Fightful Overbooked. Go find us, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Sometimes we do our post shows here because there's enough going on the other channel that we just kind of share the wealth. And next Saturday, maybe I'll pop on to the AEW Collision post show too.
Oh, it's going to be a full house.
I mean, I'm going to be on my phone because I'll probably be at the show, but maybe I'll come and say hi.
I love a good surprise running.
And of course, Cresta and I will be back here on Thursday, as we always are, to do our TNA Impact post show after Ring of Honor wraps up their post show. Unless it goes like 5 hours. They do that sometimes, but not this past week. This past week, they were good. Anyway, we'll be back. How about that? Tell your friends. Leave a thumbs up. Share the video. Tell them about TNA Wrestling. Tell them about our post show, because we are the ones who do it live, and we're the ones who do it live the best, okay? I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary, we will see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.